God, we thank you for this day, and what a privilege it is to see young people kind of coming and kind of going. And we're excited for the path that these seniors are on, and we're excited for the path that these youngsters are on, that they're going to grow up and their fathers and their mothers are going to see to it that they love Jesus and see to it that they're going to do their best to give them a godly upbringing. And God, we just pray for them and thank you for them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I got still a little bit of a thing up here. Is there anything you can do about that, or is that just going to be, can I move over or do anything? Okay, good, good. I just keep hearing myself. I feel like I'm bouncing or something. Well, anyway, I wanted to talk to you today about where do we go after this series that we've been in, you know, about knowing who Jesus is and getting a glimpse of God and seeing where he was. And I didn't want to go into a lot because there's a whole bunch of stuff I want to do the rest of the summer. But today I want to talk to, today and next week, I want to talk to you two short. For me, most of my series are about 4 or 5 weeks. This is going to be two. I believe I can get two in here. I want to talk about being called, what it means to be called. So I think that's a really good place to go from where we've been, because if we get a glimpse of who Jesus, of God is and who his son Jesus is, then we can understand that our call is so important. And so I want to put that on you today, that your calling is just vitally important, and to understand what your calling means. I'm going to move this so I can see you guys over here. I can't see Beth and Mike, and I'm going to see them. So your calling is a big deal. But when we use the word call today, a lot of us, we don't do a lot of calling anymore. We used to use the phone a lot. The phone was a big deal. We all got on the phone and we'd call, and it was the only way we could communicate with people. And we would have phone books and all those different things, and we would call. Today, most people don't like to call. We don't even like to get calls, you know. I was thinking about calls, and I think there's probably three kinds of calls out there today. There's the pesky calls, the calls that call to want to know if you've got your car warranty is just about to go out, and you get those two or three times a week, and those you don't even answer because your phone now says it's potential spam, so don't answer it. So those calls are not necessarily good. Then there's the calls that are the kind of calls that I got this week from Wade. I got a call from him, and it was bad news. It was bad news that Sandy had passed. And those calls are important. They're important calls because they relay things that we need to hear, things that we need to know all the details much, much, much more than a text. And then there's the third category that my mom falls in, and a lot of you older folks maybe fall in. You don't like to text, and so there's a kind of an annoyance call. So they won't text, so they'll just call you, and they'll leave a message or whatever. And so there's three kinds of calls, and I understand it's hard if you're not a texter. You say, I don't like to text, and I can't fully get my point out there for texting. But calling to us today is a lot different than it used to mean. But I want to talk to you today about a call that's very, very important. And the call is the call in your life. The call that God has brought to the church to say to you, I'm calling you out of something. What is he calling you out of? He's calling you out of the world. And he does not want you to be in the world any longer, but he wants you to be set apart. And that's what this call that we're going to talk about today. I want to show you on the screen Ephesians 4, kind of our passage that we're going to use today and a little bit next week, says this. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to leave a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. I haven't had very many really, really important calls in my life. In fact, I was trying to take my mind and try to think about very important calls. I think there's very few really important people that have ever called me. But I want you to know today that one of the most important entities in the world has called you. And they're calling you to a life that is a greater service, a life of greater purpose, a life of greater meaning. What does it mean to be called by God? The root word, the Greek word, honestly, is one of the most significant and important words in all the New Testament. The root Greek word is kaleo, and it's a root of 16 other very, very important words in the New Testament, and it simply means to call. Hello, I'm calling you. It's a shout out. It's a shout out, and we're, as God's people now, are supposed to respond to that call. And when we respond with our hearts and our minds and our souls, and we say to God, here I am, God. I know I'm yours. I believe you created me, and so I am going to follow you the days of my life. I'm going to show you just a few other words, and I'm going to butcher them, so excuse me for if I butcher it. If you read in Greek, I'm sorry, but I'm going to butcher them. But they all come from this root, kaleo, and I think they're going to get put up on the thing here. Kaleo means to call. Kalis means calling. Kalitos means call. These are all tenses. Paraclete is the comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. It all comes from that. And then, of course, us. The ecclesia, assembly of believers, the church, the called out ones. What are we called out? We're called out from the world. We're supposed to be different, not like the world. What I'm called to do, what am I called to do? What are you called to do? I want to watch this video with you just now. It's 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Please just watch along with me and give this video your attention. This man means a lot to me personally. He was a big figure in my life growing up. He's not a theologian. I would call him a backyard theologian. He was a singer. He was a songwriter in the era that I was a youth pastor and working with kids all over this place. And so Rich Mullins is his name. And Rich talks about this very subject 25 years ago. Rich Mullins died a rich man. He was literally rich, but he never used any of his money. He chose to give his money to causes and to people, and he lived on pittance. He lived on pittance because he believed his calling was to not to acclaim and get things, but to use his life to further the cause of Christ. And so he's going to talk a little bit, and I want you to listen to him. He's basically my lesson today. And then you say, who is Rich Mullins? He wrote some songs, some very famous Christian songs back in the 80s. He wrote some songs for Amy Grant, Michael W. Smith. And so his take on this, I think, is one of the better takes I've ever heard on what does it mean to be called by God. Listen to Rich as we get the lights and go.
I just may be cheap, but I'll do a misquote of Frederick Buechner, who says, our calling is that place where the world's greatest need and our greatest joy intersect. That God has designed each of us with gifts, with personality, with character. We're each a unique person. And the world, we meet the world where there is a variety of needs, a variety of problems, and there is a place where we intersect. There's a place where my greatest joy and the world's greatest need meet. And that, Frederick Buechner would say, was your calling. And I think that's a pretty good definition of a calling. How do you know when God is calling you? Well, I don't know. In my own life, I think that for years I tried to avoid loneliness. Because it hurts to feel lonely. Now I'm beginning to recognize that maybe that's what it feels like when God calls me. Maybe when God is calling, it hurts. Maybe when God calls us, it feels like a pain. And for years in my own life, I tried to drown that pain. I tried to avoid that pain. I tried to fill that ache with all kinds of what I can now look back on and see was a lot of stuff that was destroying me, cor- corrupting me. And to listen to the call of God means to accept some of the emptiness that we have in our own lives. And rather than always trying to drown out that feeling of emptiness, instead of always trying to fill it with a lot of junk, to allow that to be a door through which we go to meet God. So I would say, and this is where I think moral purity begins to play in, that almost everything that corrupts us is something that we use to fill some kind of ache, some kind of emptiness. And moral purity might be nothing more than a call to accept the ache and to accept the emptiness and to allow ourselves to go through that to where God is calling us to go. And that the joy of Christian life is that those aches, those needs, that emptiness that we're going to encounter because we're human is ultimately met in Christ. And that everything that we try to fill it with that is not Christ will never really fill it. So that we're constantly connected to some kind of a lifeline that keeps us tied down. When we finally cut that lifeline off, when we finally say, I will no longer fill my life with casual sexual encounters. I will no longer fill the holes in my life with some kind of manipulative behavior. When I will no longer fill that with drunkenness, or with being high, or with being constantly saturated with sensationalism. When we finally say no to those things, when we pull that lifeline, it's a very scary thing. And we go, wow, will I ever stop hurting? And my answer is, don't worry about hurting. Realize that God, this is how badly God wants you. And that hurt that you're feeling, that emptiness that you're feeling, maybe that's the way it feels when you're called by God. And so don't try to fill it. Don't try to quiet it. But ask God to give you the courage to face that and to walk through that to Him. Because when we connect with God, I don't think that means that the emptiness goes away and is always gone, but it frees us from those kind of IV kinds of needles that keep us bound up in some kind of a hospital where we can't really live freely and wander.
What does it mean to be called? It means that God calls you at a time when you're empty, at a time when you need filled up. And isn't it true that we try so many things to take that emptiness, to fill that emptiness, that void in us? And we try and we try and we try. Nothing seems to do it. And it hurts. It hurts to be alone. It hurts to feel like you're this only one that is going through what you're going through. It hurts to feel and experience some of the emotions that some of us go through. Here's the lesson today. God bless you. When God calls you, He's calling you to who before He's calling you to do. He's calling you to who you are before He calls you to do. And I think it's really important to talk about this day when we talk about raising kids to be like Jesus, when we talk about seniors going off to college or wherever they're going to go and do the things they're going to do. It's very, very apropos to understand that if you don't know your who, your do doesn't matter. Your do doesn't matter, and you'll spend your life on the do trying to fill it and somehow get some kind of some sensation of importance, some sensation of fulfillment, some sensation of this is why I was put on this earth. When really God made you, and when He called you, as Adam said this morning, He knit you together in your mother's womb. He had a plan and a purpose for you, and He calls you to a greater purpose than yourself. This is crazy important, church. This is crazy, crazy important. I love the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 1:9 on the screen. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, because we didn't. He did this, but because it was his plan from the very beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. That was his plan, to show us his grace, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we go and we try to fill our lives with everything else. It was his plan from the very beginning, before we were formed in our mother's womb. Let me tell you what this verse doesn't say. He didn't say God saved you so that you can become an engineer. He didn't save you so you can be a second grade teacher. He didn't save you so you can be a doctor. He didn't save you so you can be a factory worker. He didn't call you to a task. He didn't call you to do a job, but our world puts so much importance on that. What are you going to do? I don't know. Gage back here, I don't know. I do something. I want to find out what that is. Tori, I want direction. Pray for direction, because I'm 18. I don't know. That's okay. That's okay. He didn't say you're called to a task. He said he saved us to live a holy life. Don't miss that. He saved you to live a holy life. It's the who before the do. God did this not because we deserved it, Scripture says. He did it. It was his plan from the very beginning of time. God called us to live this holy life. It means to be set apart. It means to be different. He called us. He said, come out of the world. That's what your call was. But the church often blurs that. The church often makes it about joining a church or being a part of a denomination or a faith or whatever it is. And it is not that at all. It is a relationship with the one who made you, had a purpose for you, and calls you originally and every day to live your life for him. In other words, as you follow Jesus, you don't look to the world. You don't act like the world. You don't think like the world. You don't behave like the world. But yet we all, we struggle with this so much. See, we're not driven by the things, we're not supposed to be driven by the things that other people in the world are driven by, that are called by Jesus. We are called to live our lives differently. Who is it that God wants me to become? I believe he wants you to become holy. What does he want me to do? He wants you to be holy. Let me put it this way, this calling thing, so you understand it a little bit. I believe with all my heart I was called to be a husband to my wife. This July, 43 years, I've been married to Brenda, the same woman. I believe I was called to be a dad. I believe I was called to be a preacher. Even though I'm not maybe the greatest one in the world, I believe I was called to do that. I was called to be a granddad. I was called to be a father to my three kids and now growing up. I believe all those things. But each one of those are very specific, different calling. Every one of them. And what I hope you recognize in your own life is this today, is that you have different expressions of who you are and who you're called to be in your life. Different things that God has called you to be. And God wants you to start with the do. Never. He always wants you to start with the who. See, if I'm not loving Brenda and my kids and my flock, and I get up here on Sundays and I hit one out of the park, and you all think, oh, that was a nice sermon. Thank you, Jeff, for bringing that. It doesn't matter if I'm not loving my kids well. It doesn't matter if I'm not loving my wife well. I am a clanging cymbal. I am making noise to hell, to nowhere. And you are too. Calling is about your faithfulness to Jesus today. Let me say that again. Calling is about how faithful you are to Jesus today. Colossians 3:17 says this. I think it'll come up on our stage. Yep. Whatever you do, Jeff, whatever you do, Randy, whatever you do, Chris, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, so your who has to be right in order for the do to get right too. Do it all in the name of the Lord. I want to show you a couple, two stories in the Bible, and I'll breeze right through them. Mark 10, Mark 11. We're going to just go real quickly through them, and then I'll close up. Here it is. Two brothers, James and John, very close to Jesus, love Jesus, and they see Jesus. They see all the perks of what it means to be a Jesus follower, and they're coming along to Jesus, and they come to Jesus, and they say, "Hey, Jesus, we want to be on the train. We want to be on your coattails. And when you get this kingdom that you're talking about, we want to sit on the right and the left." In other words, we want to be important. We want people to see us. Jesus didn't think much of that. So he said to them, James, John, if you want to be great, you've got to be a servant. What? What kind of kingdom are you talking about? Where you got to be great? You got to be a servant? What are you talking about? Fast forward to Mark 11. I think they get it. And this is my take on Mark 11. And other people have different versions, but I think this is what happened in Mark 11. If you know the story, Jesus and his disciples are getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and they're getting ready to go for the big day, the day where they all lay down the palms, and it's coming out day. He's there to be in the city, to be seen. Jesus is here. He's arrived. And so they're getting ready to do that. Mark 11, Jesus sent two of his disciples. Doesn't say who. But you know who I think it was? I think it was James and John. He sent two of the Nimrods to do something that they thought was really going to be. We're going to go in and we're going to cast out some demons, baby. We're going to go in and we're going to evangelize, and the whole town's going to fall down, and they're going to go, "Oh yeah, we love you." No, I want you to go check about a donkey. What? Yeah, I want you to go. There's this donkey there, and I need you to go get it. And if anybody asks you, just say, "I need it." What? See, with all my heart, I believe that was James and John that he sent. And so they go, and they get the donkey. And I got a feeling they're going, "What did I sign up? I gave up everything for this guy? I mean, and he's got me on donkey duty? What?" You ever feel that way in the church? They want me to work in the nursery? They want me to work with kids? They want me to hang out in that hub with it's sweaty and it's cold and stinky? Oh, what? I don't want to do that. They want me to go on a trip and help people clean up? I don't want to do that. I want to do something great. I want to do something where people go, "Oh, you're so awesome. You're so cool." You can always get a lot of people. You say, "We're going to go across the pond, and we're going to go to Jamaica." You can get 30, 40 people to go. We're going to go in the community. We're going to do something. Let somebody else do it. Disciples are about to learn the size of your assignment never determines the significance of your impact. Let me say that again. Disciples were about to learn that the size of your assignment, what God puts in your path to do, what he puts in your path to do, never determines the significance of the impact that you're going to make. Because guess what that donkey did? It carried Jesus to his destiny. They didn't know that. But it did. That donkey took Jesus exactly where he needed to go. That was a huge job. It needed to be done, and they did it. That's why I'm so thankful for so many of you that don't mind doing stuff and don't getting like all kinds of credit for it. And it needs to be done. And I'll do it. Here I am, Lord, use me. Not, here I am, Lord, glorify me. Oh, look how much he gave. Look what he did. Look what she did. Look what, no, none of that. When you're called, it's the who before do. You're set apart, church. Chosen by God, church. You are called by God, church. And whatever you do, even if it's donkey duty, you do it to the best of your ability. That's what you're supposed to do at your job. Nobody appreciates me. Doesn't matter. Do it to the best. Nobody knows that I'm even. Doesn't matter. Do it to the best of your ability. But nobody knows. Doesn't matter. I'm not getting paid. Doesn't matter. Do it to the best of your ability. Live a holy life. He knows. He knows. Let me say it again. He knows. He knows. So you're called who before the do. You're called to become like Jesus. You're called to be set apart to live a holy life. And one day, and you wake up and you go, oh, there's somebody in need. Then you start to think, oh, I need to do something about that. And you begin to do that. Maybe I can help meet that need. There's somebody in here today that might need to confess their sin in your life that's held you back, that has grieved you, that is grieving you, and you're doing something, you're a part of something, and you know you shouldn't be doing it, but you're doing it anyway. Maybe you need to confess your sin today. There's somebody here today that needs to fight for their marriage. When your spouse doesn't seem to want to fight for it anyway, you fight for it. It starts with the who. Starts with the who before the do. I'm a child of God who's been redeemed, who's been bought back, forgiven by Jesus, and been forgiven more than you can ever, ever, ever imagine. You're called by God. It is not a game, church. It is not a place that you just go to and check it off. I did it. I did my thing. I went to church. It's not something you do. You're called to reflect the glory of Jesus in every word and action and thought that you do. This is huge stuff. Because you know, church, we don't know if we got tomorrow. None of us know if we got tomorrow. If anything, the last 12 months has proven to me, and a better proof to you, is that none of us know that we got tomorrow. Sandy had no idea. No idea that she was going to wake up in heaven on Tuesday. She thought she was going to be back in the kiln. She thought she was going to be sewing. She thought she was going to be doing all those things. And none of that happened. Now, I'm not worried about Sandy. I'm not even thinking about Sandy because she's imperfect. But what I'm thinking about is some of us that think our lives are so busy and we're so important and we got so much going on. And if I happen to not do it today, that the world will fall apart. What the heck? What the heck kind of an attitude have you guys got? Have I got to think, if I don't show up for something, everything's just going to go to pot. So what if it goes to pot? If it's not the who before the do, I got a problem. You were called. You were called. Your success is not based on how important you are to you or anybody else. Your success is based on the way you're faithful to Jesus today. Can I say that any different, any kinder, any gentler, any nicer than that to you, and you understand what I'm laying down. It is time to pick that up, church. It is time to not just incorporate into your life, it is time to make it who you are. I'm living a holy life. Success is in accomplishing something big and significant out there in the future. Success is being faithful right now, in the now. He started out Ephesians 4:1. I'm a prisoner, Paul. He said, a prisoner. I'm a prisoner serving the Lord, and I beg you. He said, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Live the life you've been given. He has called you to live a holy life. Live it, and the dew will show up. The dew will come. God will take care of the dew if you take care of the who. Let's pray as the band comes. So, Father, speak to us today. I pray you give us the honor, God, of doing whatever donkey duty looks like for us. God, there's so much donkey duty that needs to go on. There is so many people that need to be listened to. There are so many people that need care, that need kindness, that need someone that understands and won't pop off. There's so many people that need somebody that's not going to get tired of doing the right thing over and over and over again, even if they don't respond the way we want them to respond. God, forgive us. Set us apart. Give us a passion for whatever we do, whether it's cleaning the toilets, whether it's watching kids, whether it's leading a small group, whether it's giving our tithe and our offering. God, set us apart. Let us get the who down pat. You take care of the do. So, Jesus, we come today. Do what only you can do through your Holy Spirit. The Comforter, the great I Am. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's two ways to do this today. One is to go back in the back and somebody will meet you and they'll be glad to pray with you or talk to you. If you'd like to just be in your seat and just talk to God, see what he says. I know the first thing he's going to tell you, he's not going to condemn you. He's not going to say you're a dummy. He's not going to say, what in the world is wrong with you, son or mother? He's going to say, I love you. I love you so much. I can't let you stay like you are. I can't let you keep doing the same old every day and expecting something different. Well, my life is horrible, and it's depressing, boring, it's this, it's that. God didn't call you to that life. He called you to a holy life. He'll take care of the dew on the other side. It'll be more exciting, more full, and I can tell you as somebody who's got a third of this right, maybe not even a third, it's worth it. It's worth every bit. When you see your daughter, you see your new son-in-law, and you see a baby, you see them saying to Jesus, we're gonna do this. We're going to raise our child to know Jesus. It's worth it. It's worth it, church. Let's see what God does.
When I serve on which the Prince of
That's if you want to take away anything today, who before do, who are you? And if you're living a life that's holy and you're striving to be like Jesus more today than you were yesterday, then you're all right. And if you're not, then you got an issue. And God is calling you today. And he's not saying to you, hey, dummy. He's saying, hey, come on. Let's have that relationship that we're talking about. He loves you so, so much. I want to talk about the hurt thing a little bit more next week, but it does hurt. It hurts, and it hurts to be called by God, because you when you try to fill your life with all those things that he was talking about, and he did. He filled his life with all those things, and he still came out on the other side. He still came out and made a difference in so many people's lives because he understood the call. He understood the importance of the call. And he was able to rise above that and to get the who right. And the dude took care of itself. The dude took care of itself. What a wonderful message out of the Word of God today. That God has called us. And he's called us to a greater purpose. We don't have to be like some of us are today. He's called you to a different way. Abby is sick today, so I'm going to read these. I won't do it in true Abby fashion, but the news won't be up on the video, but let me do it really quickly. If you are visiting today, we're so glad you're here, glad you came. If you'd like to fill out a connection card, there's some in the box back there, or I think Mandy has them someplace. That Mandy's the lady back there by Kurt that looks like, well, that's not Mandy, but that's his wife. That's Kurt's, Mandy's, oh, anyway. See, back there. So if you'd like to get a connection card and then put it in that little box back there. We want to congratulate again our graduates, and I think Tori has a party here today at 2, and then I think Gage is sometime at the end of June in like the 29th or something like that. Was it 20 what? I was right, 25th. Show up on the 29th, and nobody will be there. And Jennifer always does these great things, the candy bars and everything, so you want to go to that one. It's a good deal. Be sure and grab a baby bottle for change, and if you've got some and you've already got them filled, bring them back in. It goes to CareNet. We help women and children here, and all that money goes. I think this year they said they had 80 churches in the area that are doing that, and so they're hoping to open up a Greenwood Center where they do the different things that help women that are going through the getting ready to birth and giving them an alternative to not to have to take their child and be aborted. So if you can do that, there's bottles out there. Be sure and bring them back by Father's Day. I want to thank you for your generosity, for everyone who gave to camp, for all the shower things. I was looking at camp 9 years ago. Our price was $10 less than it is today. So for 9 years, we've only gone up $10. And that's because you guys are so generous and you help us with the shower and different things like that every year. So we're so thankful for your faithfulness in that. Lastly, Father's Day is coming up. And I want to encourage you dads to get out your best Hawaiian shirt, your best lid that you might have. You can wear board shorts that day, whatever you want, and then maybe not a swimming suit, but you can wear board shorts and your flip-flops, and we're going to take some pictures, and we're going to see who's the most decked-out dad. So the more absurd, the better, and you're going to get a prize. We're going to have breakfast here. We're having biscuits and gravy. We're going to have a pick spot for dads and their kids and family, anybody wants to, back there. And you also get some food, because somebody gets – Judy always does great things for dads on Dad's Day. So that's coming up, and there's a bunch more stuff, but we'll get into it. God bless you. Let me pray you out, and the band will take us home. Jesus, we're so glad to be together today. Thank you that you called us. Thank you that you gave us purpose and meaning and life. We're so thankful for that. Be with us today as we go our different ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, great day. What did I forget? Okay, yes, thank you, Mike. Thanks. All right. Thank you, guys. Sorry, Mike.